Why make people wait? I don't do the countdown things. I don't do the countdown things. Let's get it, bro. Let's get it, bro. Can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me? We in here. Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Mountain Pacific time. Y'all know I'm in Arizona. An hour before this tip-off in Minnesota. I see y'all in the comments talking about, you ready for the beatdown? You ready for the beatdown? Yes, sir. What up, y'all? Patrons know we've been doing live streams here for a couple weeks, kind of just getting my footing and all that, but I plan to bring it to YouTube and do more live streams. Even if the Warriors don't have a playoff run, I plan on I'm interested in the playoffs regardless of the Warriors, right? There's kind of a changing of the guard happening in the league. And, you know, I know Denver rightfully is the favorite, but there is a lot of interesting things that are going to take. We're going to learn a lot about some of these young guys in these playoffs, right? And Minnesota is one of those teams. No, we may be below the 10 seed. So I put out on YouTube and Twitter some mailbag questions, and I tried to consolidate. Some of them were similar, right? So I tried, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to shout out the thing. I'll try and read it out, but we'll go through some of them. I appreciate everybody that dropped a question. If I don't get it to it in this live stream, we're going to do more of them as we head into this off season, right? So it's March. It's March 24th. I don't think I've been talking about off season this early in a season, but here we are, right? Here we are. Rich, I see you. What up, bro? We in the danger zone. I see a lot of the usual suspects in here. I appreciate the support. Let's start with the first question because this one caught my eye. There's been some conversation about James Wiseman recently. I doubt you've seen a single Pistons game all year. But is there anything you got on him for this? Also, who would you rather have, Trayce Jackson-Davis or Big Jim James Wiseman? I was like, nah. Look, man, before I even say anything, the thing that I hated about the Wiseman Discord when he was a Warrior was it became more about picking a side than actually what we were seeing in a kid struggling to find his way in the NBA, right? It was like the line in the sands were drawn, and it was like, it was more about being right than what was actually happening on the court, I think, in a lot of the Discord with it. But I'm glad that we've moved on from it, kind of. The beginning of the Pistons season, I was watching them because, I was curious about Wiseman and Cade. I like Cade, Jaden Ivey, Monty Williams. It was an interesting storyline to start the season up until they went into that slump. And I was like, all right, I can't watch this. But I watched the first 10 or 15 games. They had a competitive one. I remember opening night against Orlando. It was like an early, it might have been the first game of the season outside of, you know, the Halloween opener, or not Halloween opener, but Warriors Suns. Here, let me clear my throat here for a second. Excuse me. All right. What I have seen, I took a look at the Boston highlights from the other night. And again, I've saw a handful of games from Wise early in the season. He fell in and out of the rotation. Monty's done a lot of weird things. He hasn't helped himself. He hasn't helped that roster. The Ivy benching was strange. Then they wave Killian. Is Killian Hayes back in France? Like, I don't know. I don't know what happened to him. But what has stuck out to me looking at Wiseman now is he's making much quicker decisions, right? So that's huge, obviously. That was like a big problem. And he's no longer loading up and trying to elevate. You remember he used to try to load his jumps and show everybody, I'm 7'1", I have hops. Let me get to my summit. Let me get to the peak, the apex. And when you combine that with him not processing quickly, right, and not seeing the game on time, it made it even worse. It was like, first off, you're a step slow. Now you're loading up like you're going to squat to try to dunk everything. And it was a disaster. You're seeing him hop, right? When you're that size, you don't need to jump. You could just hop. And what it has done is it's unlocked the touch that we were all intrigued about when we first saw James Wiseman, right? So he has that touch now, these flashing, and he's making himself more available on the roll. That was another kind of pet peeve of watching James Wiseman for me, was like, oh, dude, you don't make yourself available. I know it was a thing, like no one passes to him on the roll, right? And like, but if you pay attention, like when he's running the floor or when he's rolling, there's a nuance to it, a pocket, creating a pocket, something Trace does very well. And some guys just do very well. DeAndre Jordan comes to mind, even though not the highest IQ player, he had that feel for creating a pocket and making himself available. And so I think he's doing those two things better. Seeing him now, and is it year three for him? No, it's year three for Kuminga. This is year four for Wise. Hope I don't see him at Summer League again. Nah, he may need it. He may need it. And so what I'll say about Wiseman is, I think it's coming along offensively. That said, I don't think he's ever going to have the feel or the instincts, the timing defensively to stay on the floor for important minutes. So what I see for Wiseman carving out a role moving forward would be kind of like an Enes Kanter type of role. Now, obviously, Enes, he'll never be the rebound Kanter was. I guess he's not in the league anymore, right? But an offensive-minded big man who can play, you know, off your bench, 20 minutes a night, and you know he can give you 10 points or 12 points, right? An offensive-minded guy, but defensively, I don't think that that's ever going to get there, especially in the way the game's being played right now. So the thing is, when you say Wiseman or Trace, and I may be getting trolled here with this, right? But it's a fun topic. Trace has everything that Wiseman doesn't have, right? And it's all the things you can't teach. Timing, hands, motor. Those are the top three that I would list, right? Trace just, if you watch him here in an hour, sometimes when you, and I have the advantage of watching tape and doing my breakdowns, but some guys like Wiggins is the best example. And when I say this, you'll say it's true. You'll know it to be true. He has like these blips in play where he like freezes for a second. It's like, he's just not there for a second. Like, especially when the ball is going from offense to defense, like transition situations, like there's a stop, there's a turn, whatever, right? Like there's like there's just a beat where they have to like switch to what they're going to do, right? Trace naturally, just end to end. He's just in constant movement, and that's what you want from a modern big man. So hell no, I wouldn't take Wise over Trace. But again, I think they already knew the answer to that when they asked me. But hey, I think if he keeps working, he can stick based off his offensive prowess in like a designated role, a designated big score, right, in pick and rolls. I don't want to sip on the mic here. Hold on. Got me a little Moscow Mule going. Okay. I try not to bombard y'all with sponsorships and ads, but at the same time, it's a business and I got to do what I got to do. You see the Underdog Fantasy promo here. It super helps the channel. I'm trying to hit my quota in order to continue the sponsorship in the next season. Like that's really, those of you that were like happy that I'm doing more YouTube videos, you can in a way really thank Underdog for it, because it's made me, you know, dial in more and try to focus on that. And so using the code Alchemy, 100% bonus, it helps the channel. There is a promo running right now. It's, let me see if I got it up here for you, because I think they wanted me to show it. Where is it at? Boom. So we'll kick it off here with this. That's next week. It's a 0.5 points higher for KD. And so it's basically a give me. And then there's another bonus. You can basically, when you sign up now, you can stack two bonuses just to get your feet wet and get in the groove winning, right? There's that, right? And so I have picks that I've already put out today on Twitter. Let me scroll down here. And what I like is, I like someone's higher threes against the Warriors. Duh, right? I'm guessing Wiggins will have some sort of pep in his step today in Minnesota. So I have him higher than 10.5. And then I have Kuminga higher than 1.5 turnovers, because I think that if, I don't know, Gobert is a game time decision, but you got Jaden McDaniels, Naz Reid, they have a lot of length, a lot of shot blocking. They create a lot of turnovers. And that's not to say Kuminga won't bounce back tonight, this afternoon, but I like that number for him. And then the third one is Conley higher than 2.3. So again, supporting the channel and having fun. I'm going to run a contest here in the playoffs. I'm going to have a giveaway, perhaps some Curry ones, You know, I don't want them bitches. Nah, but I'm gonna figure out something that y'all want, some memorabilia, and keep running this in, because I legit play it. I legit have fun every night. I'm hesitant to give my picks every night because I don't want y'all to blame me. But I'm winning. I'm up. And so, yeah, support the channel. Let's move on with the mailbag. Let me check actually the chat first before we go into this. Make sure there's no like supers or something like that. Okay, we're straight. All right, let's move on with this. But yeah, the wise, listen, I don't, and again, it became this thing where it seemed like the people that were against Wiseman being part of the Warriors, right? And thought he wasn't a good player, or he wasn't going to be good enough in time. It almost came off, because I was one of them, where it was like we were hating on Wiseman. I wasn't. It just became such an argument that it came off that way at times. But he seems like a great kid. I think the fact that he is such a great kid is going to buy him more time to figure it out moving forward. But Trace, I'll take Trace every day of the week because of the unteachable skills that he possesses. someone put this out on Twitter for me. Okay, that's not I can't multitask, y'all. All right, we're moving on to the second question here. Hey, Alk, I feel like the assistant coaches have really let the team down for a few years now, particularly without Mike Brown. Do you think the team will make an effort to revamp and reset the bench, the staff? Now, I had several questions like that, so again, I'm trying to consolidate some of these questions. And I've spoken about it recently. We've been complaining in the patron breakdowns about the video dude who decides, that sits behind the bench with the iPad and decides if they're going to challenge or not, right? Because I know y'all have seen it, right? We have to be one of the worst challenging teams in the league. And I'm not even talking about win percentage. I'm talking about logically when it's time to challenge, right? And it's like, yo, probably should have kept that fourth foul off Kuminga, right? But then you'll challenge an out of bounds on Steph that's meaningless in a 20-point game. And I'm just giving an example, right? But I've been complaining about that for a while, and someone brought it to my attention that the dude that is in charge of that is the same little dweeb that was coaching Summer League this year. And I didn't like what they did in Summer League. If you go back to my Summer League takes and watching those games, I was like, I don't like what they're doing here. And it just doesn't, who is this guy? And sure enough, he's the decision maker in this scenario. So I think it's not that that's the biggest deal, right? But it's just some insight into their decision making with this personnel. And I think that Kenny Atkinson, I think it's a difficult scenario when you're a head coach guy, because Kenny, right, he was in Brooklyn, and I know he's been on other benches, but it's like in the NFL, right, where sometimes a coordinator is a great coordinator, but not a great head coach. And some of these head coaches wouldn't make great coordinators. So I'm not here to shit on Kenny and say that he can't be a good coach, head coach moving forward. But I think the pair with he and Kerr, they may be too similar. And you need some contrast, some good cop, bad cop on the sidelines. I don't know if you noticed, I've pointed it out in the last breakdown, he gets extra frustrated with Kuminga. When Kenny does decide to get up and get boisterous, and I know he's in charge of the defense, which has been very disappointing, obviously, he seems to get really frustrated with Kuminga. But what we need is a rah-rah guy. That's what Mike Brown was, right? He was a raw, and it's not complicated. It's not complicated. First off, we need more size. When you have Chris, Steph, and these guys as the low tag man, it's an uphill climb every time. But what Mike Brown brought to the table, I don't think that he knows defense any better. What he did was he brought a consistent energy every night on the bench, on his feet, coaching it. Right? That's Mike Brown's greatest strength, is his energy and his vibe of day to day. Remember that video of him sprinting in practice? If you haven't seen that, go look it up. It's crazy. It's crazy. But we need a guy that's a rah-rah guy to coach the defense and bring the energy consistently. Now, the tricky part with that is it's a fine line. Like you can bring in a rah-rah guy. Is he going to annoy the players, and are they going to tune him out? And that's what Mike Brown's ability was to do it, and they still messed with him, right? They still liked him and he could still do it every day. So yeah, I hope they do revamp it. And again, some of the decision-making has been questionable. They need a rah-rah defensive-minded guy. He hasn't got to be a rocket science. He's got to have rocket scientist. He's got to have a consistent, his baseline of energy every day has to be high. Let me bring here in a super chat. Andre, my guy, this is my guy right here. He's like first to comment in every YouTube video, my brother. Yo, Alk, I got one. Four guard lineups versus three guard lineups. What's up with Kerr? Why do we keep seeing him go to this? Yeah, yeah. I gave my theory on that. I don't know, man. There's so many takes through a season, right, where you get lost in it. And I know not everybody can hear every take. But my theory was with Kerr, you know how he's obsessed with small ball. He loves little guys. Pajemski, right? It's a love. Did you hear Kerr defending him? Kawakami, say what you want about him, but he knows how to ask a question to ruffle feathers, right? He's been doing it a long time. And he asked Kerr the other day, I think it was pregame. He was like, Pajemski's not scoring. Like, I know he does a lot, but like, do you need him to score more? Like, and Kerr was like, no. He was like, if he plays this hard, he'll always play. He was like, he's in every plus on, you know, lineup on the court. But what I'm getting at here is, I don't think it's the root of it is small guys. I think the root of it is high IQ, high energy guys. Pajemski's the perfect example, right? And so that's what Kerr's infatuation is, and that's his soft spot. You play, you have a high motor, and you have a high IQ. He loves you, right? But now, when you put that filter in your web browser, right? Right? You put high motor, high IQ. What's left on most rosters in G leagues, in drafts? The pool of player inevitably is going to be a small guy. How many bigs fit that? Right? That baseline. Trace may be one. And what do you know? Trace is breaking the lineup. But I think that that's ultimately what it is. But yeah, it's frustrating as hell, man. And I watch, you know where it really hurts us and it's nuanced is when teams, the pace that the game is being played at right now, and there's all these cross matchups in transition, right? Where you have to kind of just pick somebody up who's closest to you because a team like the Pacers is running it back at you so quickly. And when you have Steph, Chris Paul, and Pajemski out there, like there was a play the other night where Pajemski was like, Trace, I think it was Siakam. He was like, you pick up Siakam. And Trace was like, no, there's a big here. And then CP was like, no, you pick him up. And basically all three of the guards on the floor, like passed the buck. And they were like, no, you get him. And Pajemski wound up on him and he just went right through him like butter. And so the ability, it's funny because that's what this dynasty started on, right? Was S-Dot, Andre, Harry, B, the Black Falcon, right? Like all these guys that were interchangeable defensively. And so there wasn't all these scrambles. And I think that is a huge part of how this defense is breaking is they're having to over scramble because it's like the next guy over to switch is small too. So they're like, no, and then it's over, right? Man. All right, let me see here if I can get. Hide this here. I'm still learning this StreamYard. Let me get to one more of these here. Y'all cheating ahead. The eye test. Why has Kuminga regressed as a defender? The eye test. Did you ask me this in the comments? Because this was on my list here. So you got it, buddy. I appreciate the super chat as well. Actually, no. You know what? Someone asked me, has he? They didn't say why has he. They asked me if he has. But I guess this is the same question. I don't think he's regressed. I think that, one, there's the natural element of when you have the ball, and I mean, we all know this at any level, when you have the ball energy-wise, you're scoring 20 a game, you're allocating your gas tank a little bit differently, right? There's a little bit of that, right? But the biggest thing for me is angles with Kuminga defensively. And he has the blips, like I was talking about with Wiggins. Wiggins' blips, they're like if someone has one for this long, Wiggins is like, It's like extra long, right? But he has the blips for sure. There was the one against Aldama the other night that's an easy one to refer to. He'd already hit three threes and he's like, oh, and he's just not, right? He's just going through the motions. He's not present. He's not present defensively. So there's that, which is correctable. The other thing though is the angles. And what's one of the oldest sayings in basketball? You hear it when you put 7-year-olds out on the court with the little mini hoops that are hanging down. Stay between your man and the basket. Stay between your man and the basket. And Kuminga takes these angles where he's like on the side of a guy. And he just takes bad angles when he's in, particularly at the point of attack and on the ball. And sometimes if you like, let's say you have a crafty defender, like a crafty ball handler, like a D-Lo or somebody like that, right? Like if they open up their shoulders to the sideline, the hoop's this way, right? Kuminga will like guard them this way instead of staying between them in the basket, right? Like you can mix him away from the basket. And, you know, some of that will come with experience, right? But it's pretty frustrating to see. And, you know, it's easy to see why he does it and why his angles are bad is because he's such a nuclear athlete. He's always been able to recover. He's never had to pay the cost for it up until dealing with like-sized athletes in the NBA, right? So to me, that would just the basic concept between the basket and the man, right? Just like don't come off to the side. It almost looks like he's icing a screen sometimes, but there's no screen coming. It's like you're just giving a dude a line drive, bro. Do you know where you're at on the floor? It debatable how correctable that is. I think the blips that we're talking about is very correctable as a young guy, but the angle thing I think takes longer. It takes longer. All right, I'll hop into some of these questions here. What do we got? We're doing pretty good on time. Mood, if you watch Moody, they all do it, but Moody has a really hard time overcommitting on the weak side and getting out. And it's one of my, the whole team, they're like shocked when the ball gets skipped to the corner for the three, right? They tag down in a screen and roll action or whatever. They're just already in the restricted 2 feet in there for no damn reason, right? And then once it gets skipped out to the weak side, they're like, oh, it's silly, dude. It's silly. I bet you Andre can't stand to watch it. My guy Ronald, longtime subscriber. What's good, brother? Do you think Steph believes there's another title in the cards? I think when you're Steph Curry, you believe, of course, you unreasonably believe. That's how you become Steph Curry. Now, does he believe this season? Hell no. And watch, I'll badmouth him right now, or you say like he's right. Steph's been bad. He's been bad since he got. And he's dealing with an ankle, right? But and we're gonna talk about Steph. But I think a big part of it is he knows deep down inside like what's the point right now. Now watch him go for a 50 ball here in Minnesota. But no, I think when you're Steph Curry, in order to have gotten where you've gotten and do what you do, there is an infinite belief in yourself. I don't think he believes in this team this year. Okay. Picking up on these, we were talking about Kenny, yes, in the coaching staff. They need a rah-rah guy. There's no doubt about that. We just talked about Kuminga and his angles, right? The next question was, hey, Uncle Alk, what is next in JK's development towards true stardom? And, you know, he's done a lot better, you know, because there's such a between the ear aspect of it, right, with these guys. And I've talked about he has the superstar confidence in himself. He's got flustered a couple times. Was it against the Knicks that he got a little, you know, like controlling the emotions? That's going to be a part of it. And learning to adapt within the game. One move that I think he needs to add is, and shout out to whoever brought this up, a patron. He said, what happened to the pump fake? Have you noticed that that vicious pump fake that he's used so much, it's kind of disappeared the last couple weeks, right? So that's always helpful. Would have helped him against that big Knicks front line. But he needs to add the show the ball, scoop and finish under. The Michael Jordan, right? And it doesn't have to be as graceful as Mike on the baseline with the tongue out, right? But he certainly has the hang time. He's shown he has the touch, right? The body control. And watching him against Miles Turner the other night and Gafford in the Mavs front line last week, right? Where you get why he thinks he can go over the top of everybody. But again, you have to adapt and you have to start recognizing these things. Go up, show him the ball, find the body, and then scoop up. You're going to get usually the whistle or you play the glass and use the English. So I know that's a very specific move, but that's something I think he's got to add. What else did I have here for his list? I had some very specific stuff. You know, I get in my coach's bag. He's very reliant on that in and out dribble. And you get why it's effective, especially when he's coming downhill. But when the game, when it's more in a half court and at a standstill, I think the next phase for him will be a between the legs setup, right? Where, and I have, and people have thrown out a little bit of a Paul George comparison. Never going to be that smooth with a jumper, right? But that's between the legs size up. Because it, once you learn that and the nastiness about it, Harden's the greatest example is, you can leave out of it whenever you want. It's very hard as a defender to time when they're going to leave out of it. And you kind of look this way and then you just leave. And I think that that will open up the offense. I told you what he needs to do defensively. I'm happy that he's rebounding better. He's contesting shots at the rim. He's giving second and third efforts. If the angles can come along defensively, that'd be huge. But yeah, offensively, those two little things I'd like to see get better moving forward. Another super chat. Appreciate y'all. That dude Kendrick. Is this Creative Kendrick with another alias? Mavs make finals. Luka Kyrie closing. It is Creative Ken. What's good, brother? No, no, you never know, man. You never know, right? Like, what if, I don't want to put that on anybody, man. But what came to my mind was, what if AG goes down with AG has a bad hamstring for Denver, right? KCP, you know, I'm not even using Jokic, right? Because Jokic is so durable the way he plays. But like a key cog goes out for Denver, things change. You watch enough playoffs and you know that it never kind of plays out how you expect it to. But I just think that I don't think you can win with Luka ball. I don't think you can win with Luka ball. It's as amazing as Kyrie's been. He looks healthy. He's bouncing around. I like the big body adds. But I think that even if they make a long run, I don't think Luka's in shape enough and the way he plays that it's sustainable all the way through. I don't. But you said a finals run. So yeah, they could get to the finals. Could they win the chip? I don't think so. They might, something crazy might happen and they could get to the finals. But ultimately, I think Luka is going to have to learn how to play more team basketball, to just put it simply. I know that's not like this, but in one, to preserve his body, and two, to involve and make his teammates better. Now, someone like Gafford or Lively, you say, oh, well, he gets them the lobs. But there's too much standing around and watching. And Kyrie is an anomaly because Kyrie's like rhythmless, right? And not when he has it, but it's like he doesn't need to find a rhythm, right? He's an alien. Making sure I'm not missing any of these. So y'all are stealing the show. I got to get to the questions. Another super chat. I appreciate you guys. As annoying as the season has been, I don't think I would have survived another season of Jordan Poole tripping all over the floor with his crazy turnovers. Y'all are trying to get me to just go off on bringing up Wiseman and Poole. Yeah, no, that was the right move. That was the right move. And again, it's a very similar situation with the fan base. Even though they're different players, they had different impacts. And Poole, I get why people were more attached to Poole than Wiseman. To be frank, I didn't understand the Wiseman attachment. Like, and again, maybe it's just how long you've been watching the team, and like, you know how many young guys have come onto the Warriors, and it's like, it's intriguing, and then it's like deuces. You'll get callous to it eventually if you watch the sport. But I think it's been better since he came off the bench there, right? I know his numbers have picked up, but Washington, just don't be those guys. What did Kuzma say? Just don't be those guys. I think that's always been his role, a third guard microwave scorer. It sounds like they've already kind of soured on him in Washington, but eventually, you know, did his contract kick in this year or last year? So if he has like four, I think once the contract gets to two, maybe you can move him and he can kind of restore his image and get a fresh start somewhere else. I had comped him to D'Lo. I think that the career is trending towards D'Lo, where, and I'm not trying to put him down. I'm just saying where he's talented enough that teams are going to keep taking swings at him, but he's probably going to bounce around. But yeah, no, Jordan Poole, I said it, the patrons know, he's been the most frustrating player that I've ever covered. And I've been doing it since 17, as far as just covering and doing the breakdowns. He was the most frustrating. The lack of effort defensively last year, I was pulling my hair out. So yeah, I rejoiced when he left, to just keep it a buck with it. So, y'all keep going with these. Ronald, my guy, listen, when's Dana White gonna let us use the UFC footage? But that's not a bad idea, man. That's not a bad idea. Maybe with the Warriors having an extended off season here, I can touch on some of these fights. 300. I always say I'm not going to get the card, and then I give it and get the card because I don't go out, dude. I'm 40 with three kids. I'm a family dude. I'm a homebody. I was going to say a hermit, but I'm not that bad. But I'm a homebody, so I usually get the cards. That's not a bad idea. I need to start adding that into the content because been following the sport a long time, and yeah, maybe I will. I get a spinoff channel. All right, let's get back to where were we at. We talked about Kuminga's development. Uno asked, has GP2 lost a step? Has GP2 lost a step, man? You know, speaking of crossing over into other sports, you know who GP2 kind of reminds me of is Dre Greenlaw. And hopefully prayers out to him and his recovery from that Achilles. That was crazy, right? But when you watch Dre Greenlaw play football, right, you go, oh, he's here for a good time, not a long time, you know? And GP2 is as lovable as he is. I'm not even going to say likable. He's a lovable dude. His energy is infectious. And you can just tell. You can just tell to know him is to love him, right? And we don't even know him, but we love him. That said, part of it is his playing style, like Dre Greenlaw, right? He's just, it's reckless abandon, and he doesn't know how to turn it off. He only knows how to play one way. The other thing that I think has happened is it's a cost of playing him as a big man offensively. In the dunker spot, those lobs and playing him under the basket where he has to elevate, extend, take contact. How many crazy spills have we seen him take? And so, yeah, I do think he's slowed down. I don't know if the step is gone, or if whether it's gone or he can get it back. He's constantly dealing with nagging injuries, right? So I think for GP2 to prolong his career, he's going to have to become a knockdown shooter in the corners. He's going to have to start to play like PJ Tucker more. Now, PJ don't play no more, but you know what I'm saying? He's going to have to get, I believe he can do it. His mind is so strong and his form, it's not broken. It just takes so long to get off sometimes. Pause. No Diddy. Is that what we're saying? But if he can become like 40% in the corner where he doesn't have to play in the dunker spot, he doesn't have to rely on lobs and acrobatic finishes, I think that will go a long way in him, because he's still a good defender. I think he's going to have to adjust too, right? I think he's had all these fouls of late, and part of it is like, hey, GP, you can't crowd dudes maybe like you're accustomed to. You're going to have to like be a little more coy, a little more cat and mouse with some of this. And I think he'll figure it out. But again, moving forward, the three ball is the way for him for prolonging his career. Neil X Gaming, longtime patron, subscriber. You see it, which we should have traded for blank. Was there an actual move to be made at the deadline? It's hard to say. I had brought it up, the Gafford, watching Gafford for Dallas had me a little bit salty. And I'm not here saying I was beating the Gafford drum before it happened, right? And someone had posted the story. The story goes that they were trading Kuzma to Dallas, but I guess Kuzma somehow, who's his? Is he clutch? He has a no trade? Kuzma? That's wild. But Washington be doing some wild stuff, bro. Like, and you look at their moves. They gave Beal one too. But Kuzma vetoed the trade to Dallas because, frankly, let's be honest, he didn't want to play with Luka. I think that's what that was when you translate that. And so then they ended up swapping it with Gafford. And then it was, so I don't know if the rest of the league necessarily knew the asking price because it happened. That's how it happened, right? But I think Gafford would have been a guy. I think the Olynyk was out there. But no, I see your point, Neil. I think your point you're trying to make is there really wasn't one, was there? You know? So, yeah, it's hard to say. The Gafford one is the one I'd circle. We needed a big body that could shoot. Who else got moved that did that, that does that? I'm trying to think here. Hayward got moved to OKC. Who did the Knicks? Bogdanovich to New York. Right? There's a ton of guys that would have been cool. At what cost? Right? That's always the question, right? There's a ton of guys that have been like, yeah, like Bogdanovich. Okay, cool. But for what? Why? The Wiggins thing. Listen, man, it's... I'm not, y'all have been on my lives the last couple weeks. I've already ranted too much about it. But I think Wiggins and Chris Paul were the two chips to have traded. Big $30 million contracts. Chris is obviously expiring. And Wiggins, at this point, it is what it is. We can talk about his privacy and we can talk about what he did in one season, but the body of work speaks for itself. And the tipping point for me, as silly as this sounds, was when he hurt his finger, right? And I was like, now, granted, we've seen dudes where their fingers are pointing the wrong way. A thumb can be very debilitating, right? So I was like, all right. And then when he came back like 48 hours later and they're going to the scores table and they were taping the tip of his finger, bro. And I was like, it was nasty, dude. And so I think everyone's had that moment with him. And I think those were the two guys to move. People have asked me about Chris Paul. And hey, dude, I admire Chris Paul. As annoying as he is, I have a lot of admiration for, do you know how crazy it is to have that career at 5'12" with that built? He is one of the, we've had that the most skilled argument, right? Chris Paul might be the most skilled player ever, if you want to get down to it. There's a hot take for you. We don't like him as much as some of these other guys, and it may not look as cool, but what he's done at that size for this long is incredible. So I'm not here to hate on Chris Paul, but moving forward, you know, is he going to take a David West deal with us? Is he going to take just some, you know, mid-level, part of a mid-level to just because he likes it that much? Or is he going to go chase a ring in Boston or Phoenix, somewhere else, right? So I don't know, but I thought those were the two pieces that we could have done something with. I wasn't trying to give up Kuminga unless it was a guaranteed big name. Super sticker, appreciate you. I don't even know how that works, but I appreciate y'all in sending me the donations. Oh, shoot, see, I got to catch up on these. Saul, what's up, Alk? Just here to support. Since Zaza Punkin' Cousins video. My guy. I can see. You know what? I had when I got demonetized. Knock on wood. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I don't even want to get into it. But I think I had to delete that one. I went back and I was like, "Well, what is this? The one anyway?" I can see the thumbnail on that one. Where it, I can see the thumbnail of Zaza. Nothing easy. Nothing easy. I really appreciate the support, y'all. I really do, man. Nothing easy. Alchemy, can you address Wiggins' inconsistency? It's terrible. We're playing him to score 7 points. Hey, take the higher than 10.5. Underdog fantasy. You see, nah, man. I think it's easy for me to sit here and judge him because I'm a lifer. I was on the court today. My knees hurt because I've been on the court every day this week. Not for hours at a time, 25, 30 minutes, run around, shoot, da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm working on like a foot replace hezzy, where when you go between the legs, you hang it, kind of snap your feet to square up and then pull out of it again. So I'm a lifer. I need it. It's my therapy, right? For me to judge someone that's not like that, right? Because that's ultimately what it is. There's two types of pros. There's the guys you got to fight to keep them out of the gym. You got to lock them out. And then there's the guys that you got to hope show up. And obviously there's something in between. I'm making it very black and white. But what I'll say is when you have been proclaimed Maple Jordan by, 15, 16 years old, and all this was put on you, it probably became a job to Andrew way sooner than it needed to be, right? And so I could see, you know, I could see where he would burn out on it. And then if we want to just simplify it, there's two traits that Andrew is missing from being who people want him to be. His hands, not great. And his competitiveness, right? Those are those two things. As simple as that is, but you add them up together, and here we are. That's my take on Wiggs. That's my take on Wiggs, and I'm being nice. Appreciate you, Donovan. Appreciate you. Yeah, man. This support has been amazing. It's been a slow burn. I'm a relatively small channel, but it's just slowly climbing, and I'm super grateful for this community, man. And that's why I want to keep doing these lives. And building on it. And again, where we finish this year, I'm kind of excited just to branch out and see what happens and maybe not have, right? Because there's a certain part of playoff, when it, Niners, Super Bowl, Warriors, playoffs, where it's nerve-wracking. It's pressure, and you almost, sometimes it's stressful, man. So if we don't make it, maybe I can just see things with a clear eye and bring y'all some new content, some new perspectives. But we ain't done yet. Appreciate you. Bets tonight, RMA. I had posted it. Go back in the video. I've got Wiggins higher than 10.5. I've got Conley higher than 2 threes. And I've got Kuminga higher than 1.5 turnovers. Please, if y'all can sign up with the thing, I'm going to run a contest. So maybe you want to wait for that. But I'm almost at the quota, man. I need that. I forget what they call it. But it's like it's a long-running sponsorship. It's one thing to get a Manscaped or a SeatGeek here and there, but a long, real one means the world to my family financially. All right, am I going to make it through these? What do we got, 15 minutes? Let's see here. Over 1.5 is free money. Yeah, that's what you say. You'd be surprised how you get screwed. Kuminga, I had a larger bet last week, and I needed one free throw from Kuminga, and he smoked both of them in the fourth quarter. You can't hate the player, hate the game, right? That's just part of it. Where am I at here? Okay, this was a good one I wanted to get into. how you feel about still running the offense through Steph? He's still him. But I feel like the near future, things are going to need to change. We lose out on guys that would probably fit physically, but not as much systematically. I feel at this stage, that's almost just as important. And I thought that was a great point, right? And you look at someone like Cam Whitmore, who, you know, people were very upset that we passed on. And we'll see the ceiling. To me, I kind of went over this with him. He slid so far that it spooked me out of him, right? Was he supposed to be a top five pick? By the time he was there at 19, I was like, yo, like, you know, like that was me personally. But I think he's making a good point here in the sense that Cam Whitmore was probably never in consideration because he doesn't fit the Steph system, right? And at what point here do we start saying, all right, let Steph adapt, right? And I know it's been two timelines and all this topic, but here's what I'll say about this with Steph. Because there were several other questions in the mailbag that it doesn't look like I'm going to get to. But basically that, right? You see the thumbnail I made. Like Steph, in building this, I think Steph, 36 years old now, he has to pick his spots better. And those of you that knew this, it's downpouring here in Arizona, bro. The weather's been crazy. He got off to that hot start, right? The first 10 games. And I was warning, go back to my breakdowns on Patreon. I was like, yo, this is too much. He's doing a lot of ISO dribbling. He's going to pay the cost for this. Granted, now he has the ankle and all that. He's got to pick his spots better. But the team has to be good enough to let him pick his spots, right? I understand that it's a chicken or egg thing. It's like, well, if we're struggling and he feels like he's got to take over. And so some of the hero ball stuff from Steph, you get it. We're playing bad. No one else. He feels like he's got to do it. And there's a give and a take with it. But shout out my guy, Brandon, who he brought this up on Twitter. He's like, yo, Steph needs to pass more. Like it's his lowest assist total in a long time. I don't know when, but a long time. And I agreed with him. I think downhill, like at this stage in Steph's career, when he drives into the paint, I think he's got to be looking to dump that off to a shooter or a lob or whatever it may be. And you've seen him just take so many difficult shots, right? And I get someone's going to throw out, oh, Steph's field goal percentage at the rim is higher than this. Like I think that's a little bit skewed because of the backdoor slips, basically. Because like we've had that argument. Of who's a better finisher, Kyrie or Steph? And people will bring up that Steph's field goal percentage at the rim is higher than Kyrie's. This is where the eye test wins, right? And I'm not trying to like put, right? Kyrie's a better finisher than Steph at the basket. Just use your eyes. But the percentage is Steph gets some easy give me ones because they're top locking him, right? And he gets the slips to the basket and the easy ones. I'm not saying pass those up, but I'm saying there was the turning point in the game the other night. To me, was it the turning point? Let me rack my brain here for a second. I don't know if it was the turning point. They had already started to roll us. But there was the play, right, where it was like one last shot for us to really get to climb back into this against the Pacers. And Steph, or was it against the Knicks? See, now I'm convoluted with so many memories in my head. But he threw it up backwards, right? He got downhill and he was like, oh, and he just flipped it up. And he takes too many high degree shots downhill. Pass the ball, Steph. Now, what I'm ultimately getting at here is, because that was the question, like, can we still build around Steph? In the draft, no. That's what I'll say. Now, I get it. We only have a second round pick right now. You know, Joe Lacob has an affinity for purchasing and trading for draft picks. I'm expecting to have more than one second round pick by the time we get to this draft. But what I would say is no, we can no longer draft for this Steph ecosystem. We can't do that. Now, in free agency, in a trade, yes. Right now, like when you're looking at who can we get to right for the right now, yes. I think we still have to work that in within Steph. But in the long term, I no, that would just be foolish, right? We know the saying, Father Time. We know it, right? But I think that Steph needs to adapt to more pick and roll basketball. And being a distributor, become more of a point guard. I think that's the answer for him. And you do that with Kuminga and Trayce Jackson in pick and rolls. Look to distribute more. And I think that also means ultimately, here I'll just say it. I don't know if Draymond can be Steph's like road dog, his main guy, his pick and roll partner moving forward. That's just like, that's just the truth, right? Like it puts too much pressure on Steph at 36. Did you see, he got blocked two or three times from three in that Pacers game. You know why? Because after Draymond sets the screen, he just standing there. Right? Like, and I get it. Draymond's chipped up. He's old. He has plenty of excuses for it. It's asking too much of Steph in that two-man game. I'm not saying you completely abandon it, but Steph has to adapt to a new pick-and-roll partner, and that being Simba, JK, Kuminga, however you want to call it, right? I'm not going to call him what y'all freaks on the internet call him, but yeah. Again, I'm not saying do away with Draymond, but I'm saying this Steph Draymond and the Hannah, all that, like there's a time and a place it can't be what they go to and lean on anymore. It's too easy to defend and it's asking too much of Steph. He's not in his prime, despite what people are saying, right? Where are we at here? This game's going to be starting soon. See, I could just start ranting and raving forever on this stuff, right? But I think he needs to adapt to being more of a distributor, and we have to start looking for maybe some more, at like my guy brought up the point, maybe some more ISO athletes that wouldn't necessarily be thought of as a warrior system guys moving forward, but can alleviate some of the pressure and prolong Steph. I think his value as far as what he can lift a team to be is going to sustain so long as you don't overuse it. We're overusing it. And so what is he, 30? It could be over at 38 if we go at this rate. Appreciate y'all, man. These are big super chats. What up, Uncle Lauk? Big fan of the channel and how you manage to keep it real while still being a fan. How hopefully are you in the front office can make the right moves to set up for another title? Okay. Right. Yeah, we just talked about a little bit. Rickson. This kind of falls along with some other questions here. You know, you guys have kind of heard my take. Like right now, I think Steph and Draymond, as far as this season, they're both hurt. They're both tired, right? And I think that deep down inside, and you can't say it, it's a business and in the optics of it, but they know that the season's cooked, just like we do, right? I'd love to see Moody, Kuminga, Trace, Pajemski, as much as people are pushing back. Just let them run free and see what they look like these final 12 games with just more opportunity and have Steph and Dre maybe miss a couple games and just keep them under 30 minutes, right? That's not an answer, but just to maybe see, to be able to more evaluate these guys a little bit headed into next season. Now, some would say you got to get into the play-in and playoffs to truly evaluate them. Touche, right? I don't know if there's a path to that. The name that I have heard, if they're going to take one last big swing, is Paul George. Pandemic P, amongst other names that I've called him. As much as I like to make fun of him, he is one of the most aesthetically pleasing players of this generation. And when he's on a court, you know, he's a top 20 guy, in my opinion. Now, the Clippers, what do you know, fading again. Harden's a free agent too, but I ain't going to go there. But that's the word, right? Kawhi extended. They're going to try. Clippers do weird things. And I don't know what it, basically, I think what it would mean is, and I'm not a cap or numbers guy, you know this to be true, but it would essentially probably mean, obviously no Chris Paul, unless he's going to come back on like a vet min or something like that. But it would probably mean no Wiggins and no Clay, unless Clay was going to take a super deal. I know Clay and Paul George played high school basketball together, club basketball together. Maybe Clay's just like, F it. Kaiser's paying me. I got my boat. It's all perspective. As selfish as Clay can come off, I think that he is very self-reflective, right? And so maybe Clay just gives us a discount in order to bring in a Paul George. That's the name I've heard, and it makes sense. Now, he's durability and all that, but if you slide him, imagine if you slide Paul George into the Wiggins spot. You keep Kuminga, right? Chris Paul's gone. Wiggins is gone. Paul George in there somehow, some way. There you have it. That's how you make another run at it. Now, I still think we need to address the big body issue. You know, I still think we need to and Trace. Look, I love Trace, but you need more. It's how frustrating is it? We'll play a team, Minnesota tonight, or in about 5 minutes. I'm gonna hop off here, but they'll be like, "Oh, Gobert's out, and Naz Reid's out," and they'll still have bigs. New York, the same thing. They're like, Mitchell Robinson's out, Julius Randle's out. Oh, we got Hartenstein. All these teams have a cupboard of big men. So, yeah, no, but I think, you know, big picture, yeah, I think Paul George is the guy. Tobias Harris, be interesting. He is a free agent and for so long was like one of the worst contracts thought of in the league, right? And he had a $200 million max deal, right? And so you wonder what his priorities are and what he values. And if somehow, some way you got a hold of him on a value deal as a stretch four guy. And then Nick Claxton would be the other young guy that's coming up here. And I don't know a path to really acquiring him, but those were the three names that I had written down. All right, y'all. I think we're going to head. Oh, we got one more here. Is this a question? Playoff P. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I like to tease him because he does some goofy stuff. He says some goofy stuff, but there's no denying, you know, his value, right? And how, see, that's the other thing I think about Paul that you wouldn't question his fit personality wise. And then he's a five tooler. So you could, Kerr's probably playing him at the five, right? If we're honest here, but like, if you bring in a Harden, obviously that doesn't seem to really make sense. And you'd have to worry about that. And that's any other, most star, true star players, you'd have to kind of worry about like, how does it mesh? And I think I wouldn't worry about that with Paul. They're all the same. They've all known each other since they were 15 and he's such a dynamic player. It'd be seamless. And so that's what's appealing about it. Is it just me or does everyone forget how Wiggins improved the past couple months after a couple bad games? When Decky passed, it seemed as though the team as a collective, is one of those perspective things like, all right, what are we doing here? Like one, probably let's play hard for him. He was always, from what I understand, he was always talking trash. Like y'all are weak. Y'all are whack. Right. Like he was a pretty good motivator. But no, there's been glimpses, but then there's times too where, I mean, come on. There's times too where it's like, dude, oh, he played. Like if he's taken six or seven shots in a game in 28 minutes. No, I'm not going to give him that pass. He's shown glimpses, but that's what he's done his whole career. He doesn't have to be a 20-5-5 guy. Just play hard defense and give us 15. It's not even the numbers I'm looking for. It's the urgency and the motor. And usually how you can gauge that is if he's hitting the offensive glass. But no, I'm ready to move off him. I'm ready to move off him like I think a lot of people are. All right, y'all. This thing's about to start here. Again, everyone, I appreciate the mailbag. Should we do this more? I guess if we're heading into offseason, a playoff thing, but maybe I can start doing this here a little more often. I will have live call-ins, patrons. We'll get back to doing that. Maybe we'll do it here on YouTube as well. But yeah, I appreciate y'all. Thank you. Thank you, Winning Ways. I appreciate y'all. Hopefully, do y'all think we're going to win? Like, hopefully, I guess here's what Fitz is going to say. I haven't turned it on yet. He's going to be like, you just got to keep it close, and then you never know what'll happen. And Azubuki's like, absolutely. He's like, we just have to have some resolve. We just have to have resolve. Keep it close, and then you never know. You never know. Anyway, I appreciate y'all. I'll be back with the breakdown tomorrow. I'm out, y'all.